We now consider what the second step in our derivation, and that is to express this vacuum in the interacting in the interacting theory in terms of quantities that we know, so free field quantities. So, and to do that, we consider an expression, namely acting with something like the time evolution operator on the vacuum. Yeah, so I mean, for the discussion, it's really important to realize that we just, I mean, we don't try to actively give meaning to that expression, physically give meaning to it, but to just see this as a mathematical expression. Yeah, so mathematically, this takes the time, the form of a time evolution operator, but this capital T here is a, well, you can call it time, but you shouldn't attach too much meaning to it, in the sense that we will take this to be infinitely large and even pick up some imaginary component. Yeah, so it's really just to basically project out parts of the theory in order to be able to achieve our goal. Yeah, so if we consider this quantity, how can we rewrite this? Well, we can insert a complete set of states. Yeah, so once again, a fact of unity. So we would have a, insert basically a factor of unity, so all the states, this is what we insert here, that are energy eigenstates, and then since the Hamiltonian is acting on it, we will get the eigenvalue of the corresponding states, so the energy. Yeah, so we will have minus I E N T. These here are the eigenvalues and states of the full Hamiltonian in the interacting theory. So now, since these are all the states, yeah, this is a complete set of all the states, it must contain the vacuum of the full theory. This is the vacuum of the free theory. This sum here must contain the vacuum of the full theory. So I can rewrite the sum in the following way. I could just take out the lowest energy contribution acting on the vacuum, then the vacuum normalized with the free field vacuum plus the corresponding sum for all the other states. Minus I E N T, and then I have an N naught. So what did I do here? I mean, first of all, I introduced this E naught. Yeah, so this is the eigenvalue of the vacuum, of the interacting vacuum. So this is omega h omega, and this is smaller than any of the other energies, any of the other eigenvalues. The other thing is that this quantity here, yeah, is the overlap, if you wish, between the full vacuum and the vacuum in the interacting theory. And the one assumption that we will do is that this is not zero. This is really an assumption. Yeah, if we don't know anything about omega, we can't be for sure. But our assumption is that we can perform a perturbation analysis. Yeah, so in that sense, the interacting theory should be a small perturbation of the free theory, and that is why there should be an overlap. Yeah, if there was no overlap at all, if it was a completely orthogonal states, then for sure we could not hope to describe the full theory. It's just a small perturbation of the non-interacting theory. So this is by assumption of a small perturbation. Okay, so what do we want to do now? We basically want to find a means of relating the free field vacuum to the full vacuum. And we do so by realizing that if we give this T here, yeah, this is just a free parameter. If we make it actually complex and give it a slight imaginary part, and in particular, if we give it a slightly negatively imaginary part, then this term here will describe an exponential suppression. Yeah, an exponential suppression that necessarily is larger for this term than for this term because of this property. And that's exactly what we will do. So now we take the limit. Where t goes to infinity. And well, we want to give it a small imaginary part. So that is basically in the complex plane. You want to go, well, not just exactly along the real axis, but slightly below it. So let's just maybe sketch this. So if we have the complex plane of t, then we basically take this limit here, where t picks up something slightly slightly negative in the imaginary part. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, it means that we can basically solve then, I mean, in this limit, this term here goes to zero much faster than this one, so we can get rid of that term and basically solve for the omega, yeah, the ground state vacuum and the full theory in terms of the free theory, just by dividing by this term. So so let's, this becomes more technical then, but I mean the first step is still clear. So we can write them just from this equality. The ground state vacuum as the limit of, well, and then I just solve for this one. So I divide by this term. So I have an e to the minus I e naught t omega naught minus one, and then e to the minus iht acting on naught. Yeah, so this is basically what we wanted. We wanted to have an explicit representation for the omega. Yeah, so now we can just massage this a bit and bring it into a more convenient form. And what we're doing here is now to change our t to t plus t naught. So in other words, we add a real constant to it, which of course we can't do. We can do, I mean, in the limit where we take t to infinity, t does not change when we add a constant. So we can just rewrite it then. It's the same limiting case, the same prefactor, and now we could just replace t with this new t. T plus t naught. And then the overlap between the two vacuum states. And then here I have the time evolution, or what looks like a time evolution operator, and I just want to write it slightly differently. So I want to put it in this form. So I have a minus t naught. And then I do something else, and that is I add another factor of e to the minus I h naught minus t naught acting on the vacuum. Now, why can I do that? Because this is the free field Hamiltonian, this is the free field vacuum. So that means acting with this operator on the vacuum just gives a one because the eigenvalue is zero. Yeah, H naught acting on the vacuum is zero. So this is e to the zero, so one. So that means this one is really just the vacuum from the line above. Okay, but then you realize that the way I've written this here is exactly the combination of Hamiltonian and free field Hamiltonian that defines the time evolution operator in the interaction picture. So just have to check again how we introduced it. This is how we introduced it. So this one here, one in yellow. So what this is the actually the inverse of the time evolution operator from t naught to minus t, so that I can write as the time evolution operator from minus t to t naught. And well, similarly, I can perform the corresponding calculation for the conjugate. So for the cat, I get the same. I have to take the same limit in order to project out the vacuum state. So then I have the vacuum cat. Bra. And then I have a t naught, and my normalization. So that allows me then to take everything together. I have an expression for the vacuum states, and I also have an expression for the field phi. Remember that my field phi is, where was it? It's this expression. It's u dagger phi u. That means I can express the two-point correlation function phi of x, phi of y. By just plugging in everything that I found so far. And in fact, it doesn't actually have to be a two-point correlation function. So everything I said would run through in exactly the same way if there were more fields here. So let's add this from now on. So this then is given as this limiting value for the capital T. And then we have a normalization. E to the minus E naught 2t. These are these normalization factors. And then I have the vacuum expectation value. And I just have to insert the explicit expressions for the phis. So that was a u. So first I have to insert the expressions for the vacuum state. So these are this u and this u for the cat. So that was a u t naught. Then I have the time ordering operator acting on the fields, for which I want to calculate the correlation function. And then the time evolution operator again. And then, well, you want to realize that or remember that the field operator we have expressed in terms of the interaction picture operator just by these time evolution operators. So in the following way, this introduces the interaction picture. So that means that I can rewrite this vacuum expectation value by just inserting all these definitions, rewriting the original fields for the time ordering in terms of the interaction picture fields. And well, you also notice that we have a time ordering here, but I take the the t here, this is an operator that will depend on a time coordinate t that is always the largest, and here for the same reason the smallest. So I can extend the time ordering to the whole expression, because this one will anyway come to most to the left, and this one will anyway come most to the right. So I have a time ordering operator acting on u of t t naught. And then I get my phi x. For this, I insert this expression. So I have a u t naught x naught and a phi I x naught t naught. And then this operator. So u of this implements the operator phi x. So and then I should also take care of the next operator, and for the next operator, the y, I express this with respect to some other time, not t naught, but let's call it, so instead of x naught, sorry, not x naught, but then of course it's the time y naught. So I use the same expression. So I get a u t naught y naught phi I u y naught t naught. And at the end, I still have to take into account that factor. So I have a u t naught minus t, and everything is time ordered. So we can now use some of the general properties of the time ordering operator that we noted before. Where was it? It was here. And in particular, this this rule here that we can replace, I mean, that we can simplify products of time ordering operators in this way. And then you see that this one, we can actually write as the time ordering operator from just x naught to t. And in the same way, this one here is the time ordering operator from minus t to y naught. And then if we don't have anything in between, this would be the time ordering. There's one factor missing, of course. So we have a factor u x naught t naught here, and then this one here. Assume that we don't have any additional fields here, then this would be the time ordering from y naught to x naught. Now there's something else that happens, and that is that, I mean, now we have various operators here, and in between we have these fields, But the ordering of the operators is uniquely determined by the time ordering operator. So that means that I can actually rewrite this and just reorder it as I want. So as long as I keep everything inside the time ordering prescription, so then I have a phi I x naught t naught phi I, sorry, the phi I is actually evaluated at x, and I have my phi I okay, so now I see what I did wrong here. So this is just the argument. This should be for phi. So this is phi I of x, and then I have a u of x naught t naught. And in the same way, the phi I here is a function of y. Okay, so like this. And then I have all the time evolution operators, but you see if I combine them, then I have a time evolution from minus t to y naught, then from y naught to x naught, and then from x naught to t. So those I can again simplify to a time evolution from minus t to t. Yeah, and for that reason, it also, I mean, here I said that I get this one if I don't have any additional operators here, but even if I had the additional operators, this would just repeat this argument. I would get additional time evolution operators u, additional fields, but since I can factorize them in this way, it will always turn out to be this expression. Okay, so then the final observation is that this normalization here, how do I get this? I basically just get this from doing exactly the same argument here, just for the case that I have a, so to speak, zero-point correlation function. Yeah, so this would exactly correspond to this normalization. And that means that finally, I can bring our result into a compact form. And this is the main sort of result, and if you wish, the master formula for perturbation theory. So we have the time ordering product of an arbitrary number of fields in the full interacting theory, and that we can write as this limit and then we get the expression that we just derived. And then we have, I should, let me try again to write a little bit smaller that it all fits onto one line. Yeah, so again, this is a very important formula that is basically the starting point and the basis, the master formula to derive all correlation functions and all observables in quantum field theory. So I have the limit. That we defined above. Yeah, so t going to infinity with a small imaginary part. And then we have the vacuum expectation value and vacuum in the free theory of this time ordered product. So the same combination of field operators, just now in the interaction picture rather than the full fields. And I have this exponent from my solution of the of the fields from minus t to t and interacting over the interaction Hamiltonian in the interaction picture. And as I said before, the normalization factors here that I took out here are basically just repeating exactly the same expression, just without the correlation fields. So it's just the time ordering operator acting on this exponential. Okay, this is our master formula. And there are a few things to note. I mean, we will have to say quite a lot about this, but some things we can note already. And the first thing is that this is really an exact expression. Yeah, we have not made any approximations. The only assumption that we did was hidden here in the technical part of the second step, that we assumed that there is some overlap between the vacuum states. Yeah, and this is basically the assumption that we have a perturbative theory at all. It's not a very strong assumption. So we get an exact expression. But it's an exact expression that has a very concrete advantage, and that it is suitable for expansion in lambda. Suitable for expansion in lambda. Expansion in small couplings in general. Yeah, and why is that? Because our HI, it's just directly proportional to lambda. Yeah, so that means when you expand this exponential here, yeah, well, you will just, with each expansion in the exponential, each Taylor expansion term, you will get one higher power lambda. Yeah, so you can exactly see what you have to do in order to calculate this expression on the right-hand side to a given order in lambda. And, that's what we already said. Yeah, so that we have the corresponding expression for, this does not only hold for a two-point correlation function, but for any correlation function. But if you do this, yeah, this leads to corresponding expression. Let's not put that explicitly here because it's already contained here. Yeah, we've said already in terms of these dots here that we actually get the same type of expression. But try to visualize what happens when you expand this. Yeah, so the interaction Hamiltonian is just the power of the fields, yeah, of the phi i's. That is, in each expansion, you will basically get just the original fields that you have here times another power of the fields. So the only thing that you have ever to evaluate is actually a vacuum expectation value of some power of the fields. Yeah, so so we remember that HI is just some power of the fields. So the only thing that we ever want to evaluate is a correlation function of this type. Yeah, and that is really quite a nice result, because here in this formulation, we've completely gotten rid of our notion of this complicated object omega, the full theory vacuum, because we can express everything here in terms of objects that we can express in terms of these objects. Yeah, so these correlation functions in the free theory is the only thing that we need to learn how to evaluate, and then we can express correlation functions in the full interacting theory.